Oh, for truly I do inhabit the praises of my people. As you become more developed in your personal times of worship with me, so my presence, which is always there, but so my presence is manifested in a way where you can tell it. Where you can tell it. And then soon, those around you will be able to tell it. And then those beyond them will be able to tell it. And my glory, my presence will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So spend time in my presence. Spend time in worship. Spend time developing this relationship with me, says the Lord. And truly, our fellowship shall become even stronger. Even stronger, says the Lord. Hallelujah. I do want to mention to you the Wednesday night service. It was called The Power of Authority. For me, it's a landmark message. It's changing my life, and it's going to change it more. And I'm getting reports from others that are hearing it. Even I got the nicest text from another pastor who's a friend of mine in another state. He said, "Is it plagiarism if I tell you ahead of time I'm going to do it?" And I said, "Feel free, my brother. We're all plagiarizing Jesus and the apostles anyway. It doesn't matter at all. You know, feel free." But now, Wednesday night, I believe that's one you're going to need in your arsenal. And that's a real teaching lesson. What I mean is, I think when you listen to it, if you haven't already, you need to have something to write on, some way to make notes. And I'm going to review some of that this morning, and we're going to go on a little farther, but I'm not... And he's going, yes, sir. And he's going to bring out some flavors that were not in Wednesday night. But I just really recommend that service to you. I'm going to recommend this morning's by Alan also. I wrote down two nuggets. I've been at this a long time. When you can get two nuggets, two things that you did not know before, after you've been at it for a quarter of a century, in one service, bless God, that's a good service. And I wrote down two things that I didn't know before. And I thank Alan for them. That was my acknowledgement. They're mine now. They were excellent. Excellent service this morning. That was wonderful. Go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to begin reviewing the Wednesday night service. We called that one The Power of Authority. I'm not sure what this one will be called yet, but it's going to be along that same line. The reason I want to start here, we're going to look at the centurion, who was not a Jew, did not even have a covenant with God at the time. And yet, by the time we finish this discourse that he has with Jesus, it's amazing to me that in the 3.5 years of Jesus' public ministry, he said, of all the people I've met, Jews, non-Jews, of all the people that I've met, I've not met a single person that had the greatest faith as this man right here. Well, now, that ought to get our attention. What is it about this man that caused Jesus to say about him, this man has the greatest faith of anybody I've met on planet Earth? So let's just read the story first. It's Matthew 8, starting in verse 5. It said, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. Now, let's stop for a moment. I'm sure most of you know this. This is a Roman. He is part of an occupying force. Okay? Centurion means, it's where we get the word century from. He has 100 men under him. And he's not a Jew. He's a Roman. Yet, and if we had all of the Gospels put together right here and got all of the everything that they all said, he did love the Jews. He contributed money. He helped build synagogues and other things. So even though he's part of an occupying force, he's not anti-Jew. Okay. In fact, he's going to see here in a minute, he's very courteous to Jesus. So this guy comes, a Roman, non-Jewish person. And he's beseeching Jesus and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Now notice, grievously tormented. This is not a light fever. This is not a cold. This is not something mild. Grievously tormented. This is a serious case. Okay. And Jesus saith unto him, well, I will come and heal him. By the way, in my personal opinion, I think that's what Jesus always says. That's my opinion. I will come and heal him. I don't think he ever says no. I can't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I've searched. I can't find where he ever said no. Not to anybody that came and wanted healing. Okay. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest cometh under my roof. Now, you just, again, you wouldn't believe some of the sermons I heard growing up in a denominational church right there. They'd preach an hour on how unworthy you are. And that is not what the man is saying at all. He's being very courteous to Jesus. And until the cross, the law is in full force. And it's illegal for a Jew to go underneath the roof of a Gentile. That's all he's saying. So he's saying, look, I'm a Gentile. He didn't want to get Jesus in trouble. He's being very courteous to Jesus. You don't need to come under my roof. You don't need to break the law for this, in other words. Okay? Now notice, here's the demonstration of his faith. So the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, meaning I'm a Gentile. But notice, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only. How does this man have this understanding? Well, he tells us, for I am a man under authority. Now, it's important, since you weren't here Wednesday, I'm going to go through some of these definitions. Well, some of you were. The Greek word used here is going to be, it's very important for our study that we're going to be in for a while. Because very often this word is translated power in the New Testament. But this is the Greek word for authority, and it is E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. He says, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now, all he's saying, that seems so simple. But what he's saying is, look, I understand how authority works. I have 100 men under me. I have authority over them. Plus those 100 men, I have servants. You notice that? He says, I understand that when I speak, they don't have a choice. They do what I say. Now, implied there is if they don't, all the power of Rome, the entire empire, if it need be, if they had to bring every soldier off of every field, all the way to, at that point, Germany and Galatia and all of the occupied realms, if need be to enforce my word, every soldier from every field will come to make sure that what I say comes to pass. When I say it, you are going to do it. And you do not want to face the consequences if you don't. He says, I understand that over what I've been given authority over. I understand it, and my men understand it, and my servants understand it. So when I was making notes here, here's his definition of authority. When I speak, it is done. Jesus says, I've not seen so great faith. He understood he had authority over those men and over his servants. And when that authority that I've been given means when I speak, it is done. It's not a maybe so. It's not a could be, not a 90% chance. When I speak, it is done. Now somehow this man had the understanding that Jesus had authority from God over everything. I don't know if you understand that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt. I don't know if he understood all that, but somehow he knew, I know how authority works over what I've been placed over. And somehow he knew, God has given you authority over sickness. And when you speak, it is done. What if a report came back to Rome about this centurion, that all of his men were getting drunk all the time and sleeping around and lazy and just eating chocolate bonbons and so somebody, you know, they contact him and say, what is this report we hear of your men? That they're lazy, shiftless, they're not doing any work for Rome, they go about and they're going just fishing every day, and they're just lazy bums. Why is that? And he said, well, I haven't told them to do anything. Why haven't you told them to do anything? I just thought they would know what I want. Is that how authority works? How is authority released in the earth? Through the spoken word. I didn't get near enough amens right there. God will have to show me why it was that Adam remained silent in the garden. Because God had given him authority over that garden. God had given him authority and dominion over the work of his hands. And I do not understand why Adam remained silent. Here is this deceiver yakking away at his wife. And I know that if Adam would have walked up and said, in the name of God, leave, he would have had to have gone. The consequences of remaining silent can be devastating. Did you hear that? The consequences of remaining silent can be devastating. Look at the human race if you don't believe that. Look at what happened. Had he spoken up and spoke the words of dominion that he had, we wouldn't be in the pickle we're in now. You know what I mean by pickle? How did Alan call that? The stink of Adam on us. But if you don't use that title, I'm going to, brother. I'm going to give you a little while to use that title. The stink of Adam. That was good. You need to listen to the 8:30 message. I don't know what they'll call it. You don't have to call it that. That was a good title. Anyway. What would Rome have thought? We've given you authority over 100 men. And they're out carousing and doing just whatever they want. They're just fishing. Nothing, no work for Rome is being accomplished by your 100 men. Give us an answer. Why is that? Well, I don't speak. I don't talk to them. I don't say the will of Rome. Quiet in here. Listen. The centurion, verse 8. Verse 9, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Now notice, and I, what? And I say, that is how you release authority. That is how, from the very beginning, here we go again, all the way back to Genesis 1. Darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit was like brooding and hovering over the face of the darkness and the deep. You remember all that? That the Holy Spirit was the agent that was there. The Holy Spirit is God just as much as God the Father, God the Son. He is all-knowing. So the instant that the Father wants light, the Holy Spirit knows that. And He is the agent of power that is there. He knows the Father wants light. He has the ability to produce light. But he's not doing anything. Even though he knows the will of the Father. He's waiting on something. And he's waiting for the second member of the Godhead, the Word, to speak the will of the Father. And when the Holy Spirit heard those words, light be, he does what he does, zama zama. Whatever the Holy Spirit does, zama zama. Light be, that's what he's been waiting for. And light was. What's he waiting for in your life? When he was first teaching this to me, he said, if I could not make an exception for God the Father, even though I knew what his will was, I couldn't manifest it. If I could not make an exception for God the Father, what do you think the odds are I'll make an exception for you? What if we got a report from the headquarters of heaven? We hear there be devils in thy house. We hear there be all manner of, let's take this guy. Listen, we hear there be palsy in thy house. We hear there be destruction of whatever kind in thy house. We all have things. Give an account of yourself. Why is not the will of the Father being done in your house? What would our answer be when he has given us authority and dominion over the work of his hands? Could it be silence? And also, could it be we just flat have not understood the authority we've been given? That's part of the reason why he's having us go through this series right now. Okay? Jesus, when he heard this, look at verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Even amongst those that did have a covenant with God, he said, I've not found anybody that understands it the way this man does. This man has more faith than anybody else I've met. Why? Because he understands authority. And he understands how it's released. And he understands the power of authority. Now the next two verses, really he's prophesying about the change of covenant. But come on down to verse 13. Jesus said unto the Syrian? Whatever that is. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now, one of the things that we brought up Wednesday night, if we tried to find Jesus today to speak the word only, you're going to have a hard time. See, there he had human lips to speak the word only. How many of you know he does not have human lips on earth today except yours? Who has to speak the word only now? We do. Good class. You're doing good. Good class. We do. That's right. Why is all hell running through my house? Perhaps I do not understand authority. And perhaps I've been too silent. There's another one too. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I didn't touch on this Wednesday night. This is today. He's having me leapfrog over so much from Wednesday night. You got to hear it. But now, today, he wants to focus on something we didn't touch on Wednesday night. See, a big part of this, do you notice? Verse 9. Look at verse 9. This is really important. He says, for I am a man under authority. You will never be a person of authority until you become a person under authority. Now, let me show you some examples of that. I had Look how many pages we're going into this. He's leapfrogging over a bunch of stuff. Okay, I guess we'll start there. Go to Acts chapter 3. Y'all know the story there, that this is where, I'll just go there myself. I heard him say again, he does this to me all the time, slow down. I have a tendency to go for the jugular. I'm after verse 12, but he wants to read it all, so let's just do it all. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Now notice, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now that's authority. His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. We could go to Ephesians. How God has raised him up and given him a name that is above every name, not only in this world, but also in the ages which are to come. Amen? The name which is above every name. And he's going, that name has authority. And if you have faith in that name, that is what releases the power. But notice, it didn't happen until Peter spoke. Everybody walked by that guy every day. But it wasn't until somebody spoke and used the name of Jesus in faith that the Holy Spirit was able to do what he did. The Holy Spirit is the molecule changer. So a lot of people, they'll jump on this verse, and we should. You need to get it straight. It is not by your power. It is not by your holiness. But let me ask you a question. Are we supposed to walk holy? Are we supposed to be a people of power? Absolutely. But get it straight. Get over yourself. It's not by your power and it's not by your holiness. It is that name. The Roman centurion understood this. These people are not obeying me because I'm such a bad dude. His servants and his centurions, It's not, they're not obeying me because I'm who I am. They're obeying me because, it's not because they fear me. They fear Rome. They fear the power that's backing me up. Well, you need to get it straight. You may not be such a hot rod yourself, but it's the name of the one who is backing you up. If you could go with faith into battle thinking the power of Rome is behind you, how much more can you go in faith into battle knowing the power of God is behind you? One angel in the Old Testament slew over 180,000 people in a single night. Jesus said, I could call legions of them, and so can you. If he could, you can. Hallelujah. But now, I want you to see. Yes, sir. Hang on. It's his message. Show you another example of that. We'll take it this way. Go to Mark chapter 9. And I see a lot of people, they'll kind of camp around what we just looked at and said, well, see there, it's not by my power, it's not by my holiness, it doesn't really matter how I live, it doesn't really matter. It's, Gary, did you read? It's not by my power and it's not by my holiness. So, you know, I can be I'm always going to pick a bunch of stuff, you know, that we, a sipping saint, a hussy hugger. Dating myself there, a hussy hugger. I can be, it doesn't matter, Gary. It's not by my power and it's not by my, did you read? It's that name. See? Well, just keep those thoughts there. Let's go even one more extreme than that. Here's Mark chapter 9. We'll pick it up in verse 38. Jesus answered him saying, Master. No, excuse me. John answered him saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils. Now notice, in thy name. Is that the right way to do it? It's the right way to do it. We saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not with us. So we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle, notice, in my name, that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now let's learn a few things from this guy. He was a Presbyterian. He was a Baptist. He was a Methodist. What I'm saying is he didn't follow with us. Pick your flavor. I'm not picking on anybody. Just pick your flavor, okay? Yet he's doing it, and he's doing it correctly. And he's casting out devils. And he's doing it in the name of Jesus. Now, there's several things we need to learn there. This guy is not even born again. Because none of them were. The resurrection hasn't happened yet. The new birth is not available yet. And as far as I can tell, Jesus never laid his hand on this man. He never commissioned him. Hello, I come here. I call you. You're commissioned. I've anointed you. You're a disciple. You're an apostle, whatever. As far as we have no record, and I think that's on purpose. You know what this guy was? If you want to put a label on him, he's a believer. This is Mark 16. Those that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This guy believed it. But he wasn't out trying to build his own kingdom. Everything he was doing was in the name. You see that? In the name. He was submitted to the lordship of Jesus. Now, people camp on that statement of Peter's, which is true. It's not by, well, why look ye on us? It's not by our own power. And it's not by our own holiness. It is that name through faith in that name. I agree with you. But let's look at the flip side of that coin. Go over to Acts chapter 19. I'm going to go there myself on this one. Acts 19. Now we're going to look at the flip side of that coin. Now we're about to look at these vagabond Jews exorcists. And I did my homework before starting to preach this lesson. I read several historical documents about these people. And these were basically charlatans. They would go around. They had magic charms. They had incantations. They would sell those things. They made money from pretending to cast out devils. They couldn't really cast them out, but they were good performers. And vagabond Jews, they would move from place to place. You know why they had to keep doing that? Because if they stayed in one place, pretty soon you'd realize that what they're doing ain't working. But they kept moving. They were making a living through this charade that they had the power to cast out devils. And they had, I can't imagine what it was like. But if you read, just pick up any books on that period of time and you can read about the vagabond Jews. So now, that's who we're dealing with here. So, Acts 19, starting in verse 13. Excuse me. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. So they're going to use the name. What did Peter say? It is that name through faith in that name. You got that? So they're going, well, okay. We're going to use that name. And so they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, notice, whom Paul preacheth. Now, let me show you why that's important. You know how Dave always teaches us to leave everything in context? Back up just a little bit. Look at verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. Well, what happened? The diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Well, that's what these guys are wanting to pretend they can do. So they're going, well, this Paul, he's preaching Jesus, and sure enough, they just take handkerchiefs from him and the devils have to go. So we're going to preach the same Jesus that Paul is preaching. Can you see this? And the fame went out all through the area. Well, Paul is preaching Jesus and the evil spirits have to obey him. So we're going to come to you and we're going to come in the name of the same Jesus that Paul preaches. But now watch what happens. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests. Now, he was not the chief priest. If you look that up, the words there means he was their daddy. There were seven sons of this guy, Sceva. Sceva was over a course of 24. I'd have to go more into history to get all that. But anyway, he was a priest, an actual Jewish priest. But these seven sons, you ever hear of a preacher's kid? A PK, the little rebellion. Well, these seven sons are not exactly following in daddy's footsteps. They're con artists, and they're making a living trying to use the name of Jesus like a lucky charm. Verse 15. Now, here's what they said. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, this started a revival. Let's keep going here. Now, let's just go. I want you to see what happened. This was not done in a secret place. This became well known. And look, Ephesus, again, if you'll do your This all happened in the region of Ephesus. Ephesus was the bullseye for witchcraft in that century. It was, if you wanted to learn how to be a good witch, if you wanted to learn the dark arts, as they say, where you went was to Ephesus. It was famous for this. Well, here's these guys who are in, they move in those circles with magic charms and incantations, and supposedly they have power over devils and stuff. But notice what, when the people see the truth, that these guys have no power at all, that they're not men under authority to Jesus. Are you seeing this? Now, I'll come back to that in a minute. I want you to see the revival. This was known, this event right here was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now, why it was, Paul would preach the name of Jesus and it would work. Others would come pretending to preach the name of Jesus. They were using the dark arts and incantations and magic spells and using the name of Jesus like that, and it didn't work. So they're seeing truth versus falsehood. And it became known to everybody. Now notice, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. What kind of deeds you reckon they're talking about? Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together. Curious arts, it's talking about magic books, incantations, the dark arts. They come and confess their deeds. They're going, we've been involved in this too. We've been involved in this and that and all this dark art stuff. We're coming, we're confessing. And notice they brought their books together and burned them before all men. They didn't sell them. They did not want to be guilty before a holy God of selling that trash to somebody else. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. I don't know what that'd be today. It'd be a lot of money. But I'm telling you, this event put the fear of God in these old boys. They're going, we're done with, today we'd say, we're done with our Ouija boards. We're done with the seances. We're done with the magic books and the dark arts, whatever that would be today. We're done. We're not even selling it. I don't want to be guilty before God of passing this on to somebody else. We're burning this rascal. And mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Going back to our centurion. Now, how he said that, he says, I understand this because I am a man under authority. Because he had submitted to the will of Rome, he didn't choose where he got to live. He didn't get to choose what his job would be. Somebody else called him and assigned him. Y'all getting this? I am a man under authority. Therefore, when I speak, the one that I'm submitted to, which in his case would be Caesar, all the power, because I am a man under authority, when I speak, all the power of Rome will back up my words. And my men know that, and I tell them, devils know that. Sickness knows that. We're the only ones that don't know it. But that is changing. Can you see the flip side of this coin? It is true, it's not by your power. The Roman centurion, it wasn't because he was such a bad boy, tough guy. No, it's the power backing him up. See, he says, he could have said, it's not by my power or my holiness, which, you know, that this is, that my words have authority? No, it's because I am submitted to that power. I am submitted to the one. I am totally submitted to Rome. Therefore, Rome fully backs up my words. So this same Peter who said, it's not by my power, it's not by my holiness. But do you know what this tells us? Because it worked when Peter spoke. Peter was sold out to Jesus. Totally yielded. He wasn't perfect. He still had more things to learn along the way. But he was yielded with all that he knew at that moment. I am yielded. You could say this. Peter was a man under authority. So when he spoke, the power of heaven backed up his words. The man that we don't even know his name, the one who didn't follow them, he was a man. Apparently, we have to infer he was a man yielded to Christ with all that he knew how. He was doing it in the name of Jesus. He wasn't like these exorcists. He wasn't like these vagabond Jews out trying to use the name of Jesus for personal gain. Thank God there's no preachers like that today. Oh, they have video now. They can see my eyebrows now. Uh-oh, I used to could get away with that. And thank God there's nobody using the name of Jesus for personal gain today on TV. Sorry. No, I'm not. That man who didn't follow them, one thing we know for sure, when he used the name, it was, and it worked. It's because he was yielded to the name. See, we missed that part with the centurion. The only reason he understood authority, and I'll say it this way, the only reason authority worked for him was because first, he was a man under authority. Are you a person under authority? Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" It's good, isn't it? See, it's not by our power. He's so right. It's not by our power. It's not by our holiness. Those devils they're not running from you. They're running from the Holy Ghost. They're running from the angels. I've never been able to, he hadn't opened my eyes where I can see. I remember in the Old Testament, Gehazi. You remember Gehazi come running into the prophet? "We're surrounded. We're going to die. We're surrounded. We're going to die." And the prophet basically says, "Here, have another Krispy Kreme donut and a cup of coffee. Settle down. You're all excited. I'm telling you, I've looked out the windows. There's thousands and thousands. We're going to die." And he says, "Here, slurp that coffee. Have a donut. Krispy Kreme. Probably got it hot off the conveyor. It's good. Calm down. Why are you so upset? I've looked out the window. We're going to die. The enemy's come." Anyone ever had that report? He says, "Open up his eyes, that he may see." And in that case, when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw on the hills the angels of God and the fiery chariots. And that report was, "There be more with us than be with them. We have no reason to fear. There be more with you than be with them." The issue is not the name of Jesus. The issue is, are we under authority to him? Are we? "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Well, thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson. Thank God for teaching us the ministry and how to activate that teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit to mortify, mortify, mortify. The only part of you that doesn't want to obey Jesus is the flesh. And the unrenewed parts of the soul, which I think is included with that. Alan's going to teach more on that. But that's it. Your spirit? Are you kidding? Your spirit wants to obey Jesus. Your spirit loves worship. I'm telling on myself. I went so many years. The least shortest leg on my stool, my table, is fasting. Everybody knows that. It's not a big secret. Okay? Look. I'm better than I used to be. But I've done more fasting this year than I ever have. And I'm still doing it. And if I lose my reward, it's okay. I'm a teacher. I'm trying to teach. I don't care whether you, I don't care. trust me, I'm going to be 70 in January. I don't care. Okay? I don't care. I'm trying to teach. I caught myself the other day saying this. I'm going, these words were coming out of my mouth. I just come off of it. I forget now, several days. And my flesh don't like it. Maybe your flesh does. My flesh does not like fasting. I'm telling you right now. It thinks I'm crazy. Thinks like, what's wrong with you? I caught myself saying, the pain of this fasting is very good. Because it's finally bringing this flesh under the dominion of who I really am. And I heard that come out of my mouth, and I went, who is that? who is that? Who's talking? That's the guy Alan was talking about. That's the real me. That's the real me. I'm telling you, it does have an effect on unbelief. It does. It starts helping divide, separate soul from spirit. It helps you understand who you are compared to this blob of flesh hanging out here, you know. Anyway. Just go ahead. Do you like that where it says that evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Now what's interesting, the word know in English is used twice there, but it is two different Greek words. When it says Jesus I know, now for you that are taking notes, that is Strong's G1097. It's spelled G-I-N-O-S-K-O. And it means gnosko. I think you pronounce it gnosko. And what it means, looking it up in Strong's, is to know, to recognize, to understand. Okay? So it says, Jesus, I know, I recognize, I understand. Then he says, Paul, I know, but that's a whole different word. And it's in Strong's, it's G1987. You spell it E-P-I-S-T-A-M-A-I. I'm going to take a shot. Epistemi. Okay? So I kept reading these Greeks. I'm not a Greek scholar, obviously. But I'm reading these different scholars try and tell us the difference between these two, you know. Here's the best one. He said it like this. Here's what that demon said back to those guys. Jesus, whom you invoke, I know. I know him well. And I know his authority and power. And Paul, also, the servant of the highest, I am acquainted with. But who are you? Did you get that? Paul, the servant of the highest. Let's go back to the Roman centurion. The reason his words had power was because he was a man under authority. Whatever Rome said, that's what he did. Jesus today is looking for a people who will come under his authority. It's not by power. We're not doing this so it'll be by our power or by our holiness. But he wants us walking in power and holiness. You got that? But what he's really after is disciples. Said another way, people who are under authority. See, I could only have limited authority in the kingdom, to be honest with you, if I took it upon myself, said, okay, I've had it. I'm going to go start my own little church somewhere, and maybe I was going to have a big church somewhere, whatever. And I said, I have decided Gary Carpenter is going to pastor a church. Well, see, in my case, because I know that I'm not a pastor, the Holy Spirit has already told me I'm not a pastor and told me I would never be a pastor. Now, again, I don't correct everybody who says Pastor Gary. That's you can call me a Chevrolet. It does not make me a Chevrolet. Okay. You hang around me very much, you'll find out I'm not a pastor. I don't have the temperament nor the giftings of a pastor. When I try and pastor, people get hurt. I am a teacher. You fall asleep in my class, I will rap your knuckles. You sit in my class and I see you tomorrow out disobeying what I taught, I'm going to come here. We're going to talk. Were you not in that class? What are you doing? See, that's a teacher. See? But now if I chose on my own, even though I know, I have heard from the head of the church, I know without doubt I am not a pastor. Yet I take it upon myself. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to go start this church over here. And I'm going to pastor. Now, let me just tell you, he said in that same breath, you can't give a cup of cold water and lose your reward. Listen, he would bless me all that he could, but I would be way out on the fringe of his permissive will. You know, I'd be way out there. He would bless me, but I'll never walk in the level of authority that he wants me walking in if I'm not going to yield to who he is. It's a perfect analogy. The centurion, I am a man under authority. I don't choose where I live. I don't choose what my assignment is. I don't choose what my job is tomorrow. I am a man under authority. And what Rome says, I do. The church has got to become a people under the authority of Jesus. And what he says, we do. Thank God again for the ministry of Pastor Day. Because when we don't know what to pray, I say, when I started here, I didn't know what my calling was. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. They should have sold a t-shirt in the bookstore in those days that Sue and I would have been the first to buy. And the t-shirt would have been, Strongholds Are Us. So full of strongholds and false doctrine and thank God for Pastor Dave teaching us how to turn ourselves over to the true teacher of the body of Christ. The one, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you have to find your own way. I'm not going to leave you have to provide for yourself. No, I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, it's the paraclete, the one called alongside to help. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. As you, at first you won't understand. You pray in the Spirit, your understanding is unfruitful, but it don't stay unfruitful. And little by little by little, as you yield time, your understanding. Then you begin yielding to that. More and more you are becoming a person under the authority. And that name, that is above every name. Yes, sir. Now, he's wanting me to say, because some of the be not ignorant of Satan's devices, who would come at this point and say, see, you're not yielded enough. No, it is that name and faith in that name. But know this, you are ready now to wield the sword. You are ready now to minister healing and deliverance to the captives. But the more that you yield your time to the Comforter I have sent, the more your knee bows to my will, and the more perfectly aligned you are with the purposes and plans of the kingdom of heaven. And yea, you can walk in power this day, but no, the more yielded you are, the more power you will walk in. I could not have said it that good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. On that note, I'm going to quit for today. Is this good? Are y'all getting anything out of this? I love this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you one last definition. Let's leave this on here. As you can tell, I mostly use Strong's to look up definitions of these words. I love vines on this word exousia. If I can find it. Man. Hang on, give me a moment. There it is. Vines. Do y'all know what vines is? It's Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. His definition of the word exousia. It is the right to exercise power. Did the centurion have that? Disobey something he says, and you will find out. He has the right to exercise power. Those demons that you're going to speak to, come out. Or that disease you're going to speak to, you have the right, because you have been given. Now, you've got to get Wednesday night. We talked a lot. We showed scripture after scripture how Jesus has already given you both exousia and dunamis, authority and power. And we're going to be more on this. But listen, you have the right to exercise power over all that the Lord has put you over.